Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Central Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at 256-837-8730. Worship is held every Sunday morning at 9, with Bible study following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5 on Sunday evenings. Wednesday Bible study is held at 7 o'clock. Now we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen.
Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. That'll be our text, and we'll go ahead and start there with our reading. I want to start in verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now verse 19. "When anyone hears the word of God, the kingdom, and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. Now, the parable of the sower who went forth to sow was told by Jesus on a day when the crowds had gathered longing to hear him. And the way Jesus was going to deal with the masses, the multitudes of people, as he got into a boat and he pushed away from the shore so that the multitude stood on the bank while he sat in the boat and he taught them. Now, he began to tell them some parables, which means simply to cast alongside, to make a comparison so something could be more easily understood. In fact, in this chapter, you know that there are 7 parables in the 13th chapter. Now, understand that the parables were kind of like a shell. It kept the good fruit for the diligent, those who were searching for the truth, his disciples, but it was a shell and that it kept the message from those who were lazy and slothful. You see, in our day, just as it is was in Jesus' day, that some people are willfully ignorant. I mean, some people close their eyes against the truth. They want to be in the dark. I mean, there's people that saw Jesus. They were on that shore. They looked at him. And when they saw him, you know who they saw? Just another man. Despite the fact that they had seen the miracles, heard the word, how he spoke with authority, but they wanted to be in the dark. So Jesus told them parables so that they would stay in the dark. But those who had discerning hearts, those who wanted to know the word, well, those people saw the application and made it to their own lives. And so he told those people some parables. And he told them a parable to help them give them understand about the kingdom of God, some characteristics about the kingdom of God, also some truth about the human heart. And the very first parable he told that day is the one that is before us tonight. Now, if you've read this carefully as we went through it, you know that there are three sections to this parable. Three things of importance. There is the sower, there is the seed, and then there is the soil. And the Bible says that the sower is Jesus Himself. He is pictured that way, but we also are His ministers and His servants who broadcast the word. We are also the sowers. Down in chapter 13, verse 37, you see that in the parable of the wheat and the tares, that He is pictured as the sower of the good seed. So He went forth to sow. Now, in order to understand this parable, we need to understand the picture of a sower back in the life of Jesus. And what He would do is He would put a bag over His shoulder like this, and He would walk out onto the ground that was to be sowed, and He would put His hand into the bag and have a handful of seed, and He would broadcast that all over the ground. So Jesus is the sower, and the seed is the Word of God. In this passage, we are told that the Word is the kingdom. And if you go to Mark and Luke's account, you will see that the seed is the Word of God. Now, the seed is the Word of God for a number of reasons. Like natural seed, the Word of God has life in itself. It really does. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 said the Word of God is, what's the first word? Living. It's living. It's alive. It works into the hearts of men. But secondly, it's kind of interesting to note that not like natural seed, the Word of God produces fruit. It produces fruit. Jehovah God said in Isaiah 55:11, He said this. He says, look, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish what I please. In other words, it will accomplish its purpose. It will bear fruit. But like natural seed, the Word of God needs to be planted, it needs to be cultivated, and it needs to be watered. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, did he not? Where he said, you know, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. Like natural seed, the Word of God is powerful. You say, Paul, is natural seed powerful? You don't believe that. You just go into some of the older neighborhoods, downtown, the historical district areas, and you'll see that that's true. What you see is a tree that has pushed up the concrete. You ever seen that? How did it happen? Well, it started with a little tiny seed that was in the ground. And it germinated and it began to root. And that tree grew and grew and grew until it broke up the concrete. The Word of God is powerful like that. The Word of God is living. It is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing between the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, a discerner of thoughts, intents of the heart. The Word of God is powerful. It can break through the human heart. You know, there have been times in my life when I have personally broadcast the seed into people's hearts. And that seed began to germinate and began to root. That person was baptized for the remission of their sins into Christ. And they begin to grow in the Word and in knowledge. And it begin to apply what they learned into their hearts. And you go back and you see them 10 years later and you can't believe, is that the same person? Yes, it is. In a sense, that person was changed by the Word of God. It is remarkable. Well, thirdly, we come to the soils. The soils. We are told that in this passage, there were four different kinds of ground upon which the seed fell. That's what it says. And what I want you to do is go to verse 4 and let's look at something quickly. First of all, we are told that the first soil is the wayside soil, or we'll call the footpath. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Now, wherever you see the souls mentioned in our text tonight, is always in reference to the human heart. The soil is the heart of man. Look in verse 19. It says, "And when anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown," where? "In his heart." So some of the seed fell by the wayside. Now let me explain that. When you are flying in an airplane and you look out the window and you look to the ground, what do you see? You see a lot of farmland, don't you? And isn't it interesting how carefully divided up our farmland is in our modern world, in our country, and perhaps Europe and some other places? It is very well put together. I mean, farm territory is very well organized, but it wasn't that way back in Jesus' day in Palestine. It was organized as it grew up. I mean, you might have some person who owns this section and that section and one section right here. And what went in between those sections was called the wayside or the footpath. It was about 3 feet in width. And it went in between the sections of land. And so what Jesus says here, that some fell on the wayside. That the sower went and he broadcasted and it fell on the wayside. And the wayside heart, he says, is the person who has the calloused heart. It was the footpath. Now that footpath was as hard as concrete. Why? Because it was never turned over. It was never tilled. It was constantly being pounded down and by human foot traffic. That old sun did its work and then it baked it. And so Jesus said that sometimes when the word of God is preached and is broadcast, it falls onto some soil, it falls onto hearts, and those hearts are calloused. Now notice what he said, that when the seed fell on the footpath, what did he say? He said it sat there, and then what happened to it? The birds. The birds came and ate it. And we're told in verse 19 that that represents the devil. The devil. Don't you know that sometimes when you and I broadcast the seed, when we teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it falls, sometimes it falls on hearts that are very calloused. People maybe who are indifferent to the Word of God. And it sits there on top because it can't penetrate that heart. And the Bible says that it won't sit there very long because old Satan comes and he steals it away. Just like the birds in the parable. You say, "Paul, what kind of person is this callous-hearted person? What does he look like?" It's somebody who resists the Word. It's somebody who does not want to hear the Word of God. I couldn't help but think when I was studying for this and we watched the debate the other night that the atheist Dan Barker, I thought, you know what? It's not that Dan cannot intellectually comprehend the fact that there is an almighty God, a supreme being. That's not the problem. The problem is not with his intellect. The problem is with his heart. The problem is with his will. He does not want to say that there is a God. He doesn't want to be under God's authority. He doesn't want to live under God's laws and God's rules. He doesn't want to have Jesus Christ as his Lord. He wants to be able to be free to do whatever he wants and to whatever he thinks. And he just said some things who are just blasphemous. And I prayed and I said, "God, have mercy on his soul." I mean, he said, "You know what? I'll be happy to go to hell." If Mr. Dan continues to have his heart of heart against the Word of God, it will be a self-fulfilling prophecy. It will be. But I want to tell you, the fault is not with the seed. The fault's not even with the sower. The fault is with the heart of man. Because people resist the Word of God, they are indifferent to the Word of God. And some may hear the Word of God often, but it never touches them. So the seed is going to be broadcast. It's going to land on that wayside or that footpath, and it's going to be so hard, that heart is it cannot penetrate, and the devil is going to steal it away. How does the devil steal it away? I don't know if that you've ever read C.S. Lewis in some of his writings. He was a wonderful writer. He wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters. Ever read that? And in this book, he tries to figure out what he would do if he was Satan. And in his book, Screwtape is Satan. And he shows how Satan works behind the scenes. And in one section of the book, he talks about a man who goes to a British museum. And he sits down and he opens some books that were there and he begins to read them. And something that he reads suggests a thought about God, and he really begins to think about that. I mean, he really thinks about that seriously, and it looks as though perhaps he's going to take this thing through. But that's when old Screwtape, old Satan, begins to work. And he manages to divert his thought with this idea. It's time for lunch. I can't possibly think about something so dynamic as this on an empty stomach. It would be far better to think about this on a full stomach. And so he closes his books, and he walks out the door of the museum. And there's old Screwtape, and he's analyzing his success on this project. And I'm going to quote from him. He says, "Once he was in the street, the battle was won. I showed him a newsboy shouting out the midday paper and a number 73 bus going past. And before he reached the bottom of the steps, I had gotten him into an unalterable conviction. Whatever odd ideas might come into a man's head when he is in the museum reading books, a healthy dose of real life, the newsboy and the bus, was enough to show him that sort of thing just couldn't be true. And I had won." And that's how it happens. That's how it happens. If you've ever had very many Bible studies, has this ever happened to you? You've talked to the person and you've done some study. You set up the study. You're in their home or maybe they're at the office. And all of a sudden, right when you're talking to them, all of a sudden the phone will ring or there'll be some kind of emergency. And that person will have to go and never to come back again. Satan can steal away the word if that heart's not soft. By the way, he can even steal the word away from a Christian. Do you know that? That's what Hebrews 6 talks about. He talks about the parable of not moving on toward maturity. A person, Christian, who may be very comfortable with where he is in life right now, hardens his heart to the things that he hears, and the word is stolen away from him. Well, look at the second kind of soil. The seed was sown on stony ground, and that represents the casual heart. Look in our text in verse 5 and verse 6. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, and they withered away. What's that mean? Well, look in verse 20 and verse 21. "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." Now, there were places in Palestine, and I guess there still are, where there were places of ground, plots of ground, sections of ground that were called the stony ground. And this always confused me a little bit because growing up, I pictured this as a piece of ground and there were rocks just everywhere that had never been removed. But you know what? What farmer is going to cultivate ground like that? It's not like that at all. But what it is a very thin layer of soil. And beneath that layer of soil is a large bed of limestone underneath. And so there is the sower, and he goes about, and he broadcasts, and some falls on that soil. Now, what is interesting is it falls into that soil, and immediately it germinates. Immediately it takes root. And the roots try to go down, but they can't because there's rock. And so the plant is frustrated, and it pushes itself up, and there's all of a sudden an expression of foliage, and someone may walk by, and they'll say, well, look at that piece of ground over there. That's the best, and all of this land, that is the best crop right there. That's going to be some great fruit. But you and I know what they don't know, and that is there's some rock underneath. And the Bible says that old sun comes up and begins to work on that plant. And because those roots cannot go down, they can't get moisture. And what happens? It begins to dry up, and before you know it, it's withered and it's dead. Jesus said there are people like that who receive the gospel. Have you ever known anyone like that in your experience? I can't tell you what happened Sunday. I mean, I am so excited about what happened last Sunday. This is not for real. I'm just making this up. And what happened? Well, Jack came forward. I mean, with his mouth, he confessed that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he was buried in baptism. I mean, it was a great, great thing. And you won't believe what happened. Monday morning at 7 o'clock, he was right here for the Hot Meals program. And he worked. Tuesday night, he was here at the visitation program at 6 o'clock. Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock, he tried to help the little ladies in the Dorcas make bears. I mean, this guy's on fire. He's going to have an interview with the Huntsville Times and to talk to them about his conversion. 3 months goes by, and someone says, "Where's Jack?" "Oh, Jack? Oh, well, you know, he's back where he was before, doing what he did before." What happened? What happened to Jack? The seed was sown in his heart, and there was an explosion. There was an explosive growth. But because he had no root, the sun came out. What the Bible tells us is persecution or tribulation or testing. He gave up. He gave up. Jesus said, sometimes when we preach the word, it's going to be received like that. And the person may even cry. But it's an emotional response. There's no true commitment. And that happens sometimes. But thirdly, he said that there was a seed when it was broadcast. It fell on a different kind of soil. And he said it fell on thorny soil. If the first guy represents the callous heart, and the second guy maybe had the carefree heart, we can say that this guy had the crowded heart. He was crowded. Verse 7, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them." Verse 22, "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becomes unfruitful." So sometimes the seed is sown, and it's sown among the weeds and the thorns, and it grows up and it begins to choke out the good seed. Now, what are the thorns? Well, you don't have to guess because we just read it. It said it's the cares of this life. It is the deceitfulness of riches. Mark, in his gospel, adds a third. He says it is the desire for other things. Luke adds, it's the pleasures of life. This man is not hard-hearted like the first man. He's not soft-hearted like the second man, but he is divided in his heart. He's double-minded, as James would say in James chapter 1, verse 8. His heart is crowded. Man comes through those doors one Sunday. He's about 35 years old. he begins to mingle with some of you, and he says, you know, these folks are real friendly. Some of the friendliest people I've ever known. These are professional people. I like it here. I'd like to belong to this church. And so Arnold finds him, and he has a Bible study pretty quick, and this man is baptized as well. But you know what happens? He goes to work Monday and he finds out that it can be downright inconvenient to be a Christian. I mean, I still have to make all of this money. I still have to take care of myself in this world. And that's major, isn't it? Have you ever sat down and figured out how much time it takes just to take care of life, to put bread on the table, to take care of children, to take care of children? I said that twice because I have five. And to keep the car running, it takes a lot. So sometimes the cares of this world can choke out the Word of God. And the growth stops. He says, the deceitfulness of riches. You see, riches promise and promote a security it cannot produce. It cannot deliver. It keeps us chasing after the wind. See, oh, you know what? If I had that, I would be happy. If I had that, I would be happy. If I had that, this person would respect me. If I had that. And it's never fulfilling, is it? Deceitfulness of riches. And so what he says is that the enemy of the third soil is the world and its system and the cares of this life. That's the enemy to the third soil. So Jesus is saying, when you preach the Word of God, don't you expect there to be a massive positive response? Well, then we go down to the last soil in verse 8, the last heart. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30. Verse 23, but he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. This person, this soil, represents the heart that is a good heart, a soft heart, a heart that is seeking the truth. And when the seed is scattered, it falls into that heart, it germinates, it takes root, and it produces fruit. This is the kind of person who continues in the Word of God. This is a person who is faithful to the service of God and continues to take of the Lord's Supper each first day of the week. This is the kind of person that enjoys singing praises to God, who enjoys being around other spiritual people. I think it's kind of interesting here that just as there are three levels of not believing in the Word, there are three levels of productivity in the heart of the person that does believe. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. But guess what you don't see? You don't see any goose eggs, do you? Anyone who genuinely is a Christian and faithful will produce fruit. So what does this mean? What does it mean to you? First of all, there's a word to the sower. Don't get discouraged. You know, doing the Lord's work sometimes can be discouraging, right? I mean, if I did my math correctly, the sower only had a 25% success rate. And that's not very good. I mean, in 2009, the Braves could even have a better winning record than that. And some people go forth and they broadcast the seed, they teach the gospel, and they said, you know what? This is a hard job. You may not have 1 in 4. It may be 1 in 10, 1 in 20. Depends on where you go and you teach. You may have some real bad soil. And you say, yeah, I don't like this. I don't know that I can do this. But do you know something? That's not my problem. I can't do anything about that. The sower cannot make the seed grow. Right? I can't make the seed grow. You can't make the seed grow. My job is to be faithful in broadcasting the Word of God. Go into all the world and teach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. It really is true that some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. Maybe that's the reason that Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. He says, "Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart." If you're sowing, don't lose heart. God gives the increase. You be faithful in broadcasting the Word of God. The second message is to the soil. Don't be deceived. In Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you know, there's some people on that great day that are going to say, "Lord, Lord, did we not do miracles? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not do mighty works and wonders in your name?" And what will He say to them? "Depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you." So I ask tonight, looking at all these hearts, is your heart genuine? Paul said something interesting in 2 Corinthians in chapter 13 and verse 5. He said, "Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself." And that's a good thing sometimes. I always tell our family, when we're gathered for our devotions, I say, you know what? We want to help each other go to heaven. It may not be a bad idea for you to look at that husband or wife or child or parent or brother or sister and say, "Do you think I'm further along right now than I was a year ago spiritually? Can you see the evidence of fruit in my life?" See, well, what kind of fruit are you talking about? Self-control, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, peace, joy, and love. The fruit of the Spirit, is it evident in your life? Look in the mirror. Examine yourself. Where am I? Where am I going? Am I bearing fruit? And the last word is about the seed. The seed. Some people say today, you know, the Word of God, it's antiquated. It's outdated. It doesn't work in our modern world. We have to have something alongside of it to go with it. Maybe we need a band. Maybe we need to meet on different days. Maybe we need to do a few miracles. I mean, draw people in. We want more numbers. I want to ask you, what is more powerful than the pure Word of God? Oh, there's the rich man. And he's in anguish. He says, "Abraham, could you tell Lazarus to go back and talk to my five brothers? I'm in anguish and I don't want them to come here." And Abraham says, "You know what? They have Moses and the prophets." He says, "I know that, but if a dead man comes back, they'll believe him." And they said, "If they don't believe Moses and the prophets, neither they will believe if a man comes back from the dead." There is power in the Word of God. There is no higher source to which we may appeal as we go forth into the world than to teach the Word of God by itself. Amen? And so, let's look at our hearts. Let's think to ourselves, what kind of heart do I have? I think all of us here tonight have good hearts. I know we do. We want to do what's right. That's the reason that we're here. But let's continue being faithful and growing and broadcasting
the Word of God to a lost and dying world. Maybe the fact that you are here tonight and you are not a Christian, you cannot go to heaven unless you're a Christian. No man comes to the Father, Jesus said, but by me. You have to be in Christ. Galatians 3:27. Will you do that tonight? If you need to make some necessary adjustments to refocus, to recommit, maybe you don't need to come down and sit on this front pew. Maybe you need to go home and you need to go in your bedroom, you need to close the door, and you need to have a long talk with God and repent. If you have need, please come as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.